Okay, I've got a question. What do a Norwegian troll, Olympic skiing, and knitted socks have in common?
Well, somehow, believe it or not, they're all key plot points in 2023's My Norwegian Holiday. We've got a lot to talk about, Josh.
We do, Jennifer. We'll unwrap it all on this episode of Do You Watch What I Watch? We are really punching our passport this season, Jennifer, and in this episode, we're off to Norway.
That's right. But first things first, thank you for watching or listening to our podcast. It means so much to us. But hey, if you wouldn't mind, leave a 5-star rating or review wherever you listen, or if you're on YouTube, give a thumbs up and a subscribe. We would be so appreciative. It really helps us out, helps us grow our podcast, and you can find the social links to everything we've got going on at doyouwatchwhatiwatch.com.
So let's get started. Let's hit the friendly skies and let's make our way to Norway. Here's the plot summary for My Norwegian Holiday, brand new out on Hallmark Channel as part of 2023's Countdown to Christmas. JJ, grieving the loss of her grandmother and seeking some inspiration, stumbles upon an unexpected holiday destiny. Meeting Henrik, a Norwegian from Bergen, their connection deepens when he discovers she has a troll figurine from his hometown. Let's go. So based on that plot summary, Jennifer, you and I in the draft, if I recall, were very skeptical about this particular one.
Mm-hmm. We poo-pooed all over this. We wanted nothing to do with this. And I believe it came down to a toss-up and we rock, paper, scissored our way into drafting My Norwegian Holiday. And we'll see if our original inclinations were correct or not. I mean, when I hear troll figurine, I'm sorry. It gives me pause. I had a lot of treasure trolls growing up. I had one in particular, I think I still have it at my parents' house. It was a bride troll and she had a red gem, the little ruby that you could rub on her tum tum and make a wish. But
magical.
I know. So this particular troll figurine, not as magical looking.
Anyhow,
we'll get to it.
We'll see. We open to a bustling coffee shop in Minneapolis. A high school teacher, she's grading some papers, and she overhears a guy named Henrik, our male lead, being dumped. The woman dumping him has the same name, coincidentally, as our female lead, Jessica Johnson, and she complains about the Norwegian's ability to express emotion. So Jessica catches him outside, our female lead here. She catches him outside, not the one who dumped him. There's a coffee mishap, some spilled papers, and he says, essentially, I'm a mess. And I thought,
we love a self-aware king.
Exactly. She's left behind a single exam, so there's reason to believe he will track her down. Sure enough, next scene, he shows up in her classroom, and I'm wondering, where's the security at this school that a random guy can just come in off the street directly to her classroom? But that's nevertheless. He shows
Well, there were a bunch of kids around. Maybe it was after hours.
True. Mm. He shows up with a drink and a muffin, so clearly he's trying to make a good impression here. For some reason, she has a troll on her desk, and it's a very intricately carved wooden troll. Turns out it's from his hometown, Bergen, in Norway. And what are the odds? It was her grandmother's, but she's never been over there to Norway. P.S. I love the idea that she has this gorgeous Christmas tree in her classroom. Did you see the Christmas tree she had in her classroom?
Love the Christmas tree, but hate that this troll figure is just sitting on her desk staring at her all day long. This thing gives me nightmares, and if I was a student, I would want nothing to do with it. It scared me.
Anyway, he has an idea. She should go to Norway with him since the ticket that he purchased is in technically her name, Jessica Johnson. You have a troll from Bergen, he says. It feels like fate. And we get a lot of discussion about fate in this movie, so stay tuned. Turns out that she's actually a PhD student, not a full-time high school teacher, and she's working on her dissertation on the polar ice cap, so she's a scientist. The only way her advisor, Bill, will give her an extension on her dissertation is if she decides to go to Norway. So now that she has a reason to go, aside from taking a chance On adventure and maybe love, she decides to take Henrik up on his offer. Cut to Norway, which, Jennifer, looks idyllic. It looks beautiful. Has this ever been on your travel radar before?
No, but it is now. Loved every bit of it. So pretty.
He got her to stock up on duty-free wine, since it's apparently really expensive in Bergen. He's a bargain guy, and he also convinces her to take public transit, which is clean as a whistle. Like, I have never
seen public... You can eat off the floor.
I have never seen public transit that looked as good as this. She's a fish out of water socially. She's doing that American thing where she's trying to be friendly and win people over, and some of the native folks there are not having it. But Henrik's sister, Laura, is very social. She's maybe borderline a lot. And they are late to her stepdaughter's Christmas show, the family is, so we're off to go see that before she gets to check into her hotel. Henrik promises a taste of Norwegian culture, so off we go. We get the sweetest, and I do mean saccharine sweetest, of Norwegian Christmas pageants. And they have some pastries, and I can only assume delicious coffee afterwards. JJ.
Okay, but that girl was pitchy. The girl that sang the solo.
Most kids singing are a little pitchy. Okay.
Didn't you used to have a thing where you didn't enjoy when you didn't enjoy children singing? Wasn't that a thing when I first met you?
Still a thing. I very much
still a thing.
Not.
That's why I thought you would appreciate my comment.
I do. This makes me sound like the world's worst person, but I do not really enjoy the sound of children singing.
I think I learned that when we were watching, Nightmare Before Christmas, and they're all, like, singing that Santa Claus song, and you're like, oh, like, convulsing.
It's too much. Anyway, after the Norwegian Christmas pageant, JJ brings the family up to speed on how exactly she got there, and Laura suggests she skip the Viking Hotel, which is apparently a bit of a dump, or however you would say that in Norwegian, and instead stay with Henrik's grandmother. So we meet Grandma. She is incredibly sweet and knitting by candlelight when we see her at first. She notices JJ doesn't have socks on, so that's clearly about to change. Henrik shows her to the guest room, which is like an upscale IKEA showroom, if you will. So it's very sleek, very clean, very on brand for our setting here in Norway. This entire movie, I think, was shot through some sort of filter or something, because it all just looks very, very warm. I don't know if you felt the same. It just, everything felt very
agreed.
So she has a traditional Norwegian breakfast the next morning and a charming chat with Grandma. Then she's off to sightsee and try to track down the origins of the troll, because that's the mission she's on here. She wants to know more about the troll. Of course, she's wearing the brand new socks. Wink, wink, wink. Grandma made it happen overnight.
Hooked her up, yeah.
Hooked her up. Henrik's there, they're walking through town, and a creepy guy pulls out a phone and mysteriously snaps a picture of him. I was taken aback when we first saw this kind of thing happening. Were you?
Didn't like that. Nope, didn't like it. Mm-mm. And it kind of continues to happen a little bit. Don't like it any of the times.
It does. Later, some youths, in fact, with skis, they shout, "Quitter!" at Henrik, but of course it's in Norwegian, but we do get a subtitle that says Quinner, so I appreciate that. Clearly he has a backstory that we've yet to hear, but most assuredly will hear. Anywho, it's time for family dinner. This looks warm and lovely, and they discuss how Norwegians have several different ways to refer to love, and it is a very, very charming conversation. We get a Taylor Swift reference here, because
Stephanie pointed out, listener Stephanie.
Love that. Stephanie's an old dear friend, and of course I had a feeling she would pick up on that. But Taylor Swift, the reference we get is, dad's like, you know, there's like, you love Taylor Swift, but love like that is different than the love that you might have for your special spouse or somebody like that. I love that they were sort of parsing that out in a way that made a lot of sense to people.
Yeah.
Anywho, turns out Jessica wasn't his girlfriend, we learn. She was actually his assistant. So he has a backstory and had an assistant. So we are getting and piecing together that Henrik was kind of a big deal. And so at this point, I'm like, What's the backstory here? Who is this Yehu? Anywho.
Yeah.
After dinner, JJ gets taste tests of Norwegian licorice and Christmas sodas. I'll take the Christmas sodas. I hate a licorice. No, thank you.
I don't mess with licorice. Mm-mm. Pass. Sorry.
Pass. The next day, she goes with Henrik to try on his traditional Norwegian suit because his sister's getting married, so there's a wedding in the offing as sort of the subplot of this entire movie. She's kind of a wooga when he emerges from the dressing room because he actually does look quite handsome in this traditional Norwegian suit, which I would look like a fool trying to wear, but it works for him.
He pulls it off, yes. It is very impressive.
They go to check out the college there in Bergen, and she unpacks her interest in meteorological research. She used to want to be a meteorologist on television, but then wisened up and instead wants to work more in the research realm. She says she's not so sure it's her calling, though, so there's a little bit of wishy-washiness about what she wants to do with her life. More bullies mess with Henrik later on, and JJ finally demands to know what the deal is. So it turns out Henrik was actually a downhill skier and a big deal in Norway and just missed the Olympic podium. He had a terrible accident, almost died, it turns out, but hasn't been able to ski the same way since. In fact, he walks with quite a noticeable limp throughout this entire movie. Mm-hmm. He feels like he's let everyone down. Well, Grandma is there to be supportive, and she gives them an assignment to go buy a Christmas tree. Then JJ tries to work on her research paper, her dissertation. Laura takes her off as a distraction for a little bit of a shopping trip, then a wedding dress fitting, during which Laura reminds JJ that love is a verb. That's a pretty tender scene. Incidentally, I thought it was a little odd, but maybe this is how you do things in Norway, that Henrik tried on his suit at the same place where Laura tried on her wedding dress. They were back in the same shop, which I thought was kind of an interesting... Does one tailor really do all of that sort of stuff? If so...
Maybe so. Maybe it's a family friend. Yeah.
Maybe a family friend. Anywho. Yeah, so Grandma is trying to teach JJ how to knit because that's what you do in your spare time in Norway, apparently. And the family gets JJ to deliver Henrik to his soon-to-be brother-in-law's bachelor party. This winds up being a really kind of sweet redemption of sorts for Henrik, especially since he's been sort of afraid to show his face to many of these folks because of his earlier downhill skiing mishap and the whole missing an Olympic medal, all of this sort of thing, blah, blah, blah. So I'm going to pause here. Jennifer, what's your early impression of these two characters, their budding relationship? Are you into it at this point?
At this point, I got more friend vibes, I gotta say. I like both of these actors. So Rhiannon Fish, we saw her in a picture of her with Tyler Hines earlier this year. And then David Elsendorn, sorry if I'm not pronouncing that right. The whole time I was like, how do I know this guy? He was in Ted Lasso. Did you ever watch Ted Lasso?
Oh, I didn't watch Ted Lasso. Oh,
he's okay. On the team from Ted Lasso, but this is his first movie in this Hallmark realm. But I thought he did a great job. So I liked them. I liked their characters. I did not buy that they were romantically going to be attracted to one another. Okay. What did you think?
I was intrigued. I wasn't fully bought into them as a couple at this point, but I liked what they were doing in terms of she has a backstory, he has a backstory, and they're sort of peeling back the onion layers a little bit to kind of clue mm-hmm. us in on that as we go. Because sometimes these are really literal out of the gate. And we know exactly what the backstory is, and they're trying to muddle their way through it. But I kind of like that there was a little bit of, you got little breadcrumbs as we're going here that sort of piece mm-hmm. it all together.
Because rarely do you meet somebody and you tell them your entire trauma and life story
exactly.
on first meet at the coffee shop. So
exactly.
Yes, that was good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So a woodcarver spots a clue on the gnome. So we're getting some progress here. There are three letter A's on it. So stay tuned on that. She gets a tour of the university in Bergen, so some progress on that front as well. So things are starting to look up for our dear female lead here. Anyway, JJ and Henrik, they meet up for coffee post-bachelor party. They're discussing wedding traditions in Norway when Henrik spots his old ski coach in the coffee shop. He thought this was going to be entirely awkward, but it wasn't, which I thought was sort of an interesting thing to do. So it's sort of like he was doing that thing where he had some degree of trauma in his story, and he was telling himself, oh, this is what it's going to look like, and this is what it's going to be. And it wasn't that way when these guys showed up at the bachelor party, and they were many of his old teammates. And it wasn't that way when he ran into his coach. So I like that he sort of got his own little bit of redemption and little bit of growth as he was going throughout this thing. Did you?
Yes. And it just goes to show that people who care about you the most are going to forgive you. Oh, there's nothing to forgive. You got hurt, but are still going to be there in your corner. And but you can have all these people being so supportive, but if you have a couple of yokels on the street calling you a quitter, then that those voices can sometimes seem louder than all the other positive ones, just that one or two negative. Because he'd even said the coach had reached out to him, right?
Yeah.
He didn't respond. So I was surprised that he was surprised how the coach responded, but I'm glad it was a warm welcome.
Same little
reconciliation
here.
There.
Same here. Anyway, grandmother, the next morning, her name is Astrid, by the way, she's baking, and she gets a lot more of JJ's history, namely that JJ's mom has passed away. She was raised by her grandmother. And so Astrid, being the sweetest European grandmother you've ever seen, basically says she wants to take JJ on as a surrogate granddaughter. It is like an incredibly tender scene, and my cry count is up to one.
Oh, Josh's cry count.
Here
you go. We got very positive feedback on the cry count.
I know. So seriously, we're going to have to keep it going. And don't worry, we will in this movie. Anyway.
Oh, no.
Astrid may know how to crack the mystery about the AAA that's on the troll. So grandma takes her to see Henrik's coach. And lo and behold, he carved it for JJ's grandmother. What?
Didn't see it coming.
Mm-mm. Didn't see it coming at all. And just wait, this whole thing gets, yes, it gets so much
better. Crazier. Mm-hmm.
So they were in love, but life, of course, as life often does, it got in the way, and OMG, he might very well be her grandfather. That was my reaction.
Yeah, because they were trying to figure out, you know, when her mom was born versus when her grandma was there. And, you know, 23andMe kit laying around in the Norway woods. But
no. I wrote in my notes, is this the oopsie doodle of oopsie doodles? Anyway, she can't handle all of this in the moment. And I get it, right?
Rightly so.
It's a lot. So
you were just trying to figure out who carved an ugly troll figurine, and now your whole world is upside down, and you may have a grandfather.
It's spinning. So she gets a little bit spooked, and she's off running through the woods, and it turns out Henrik is going to go in search of her, and we get this sweet scene of him literally running through the woods, which is not easy for a guy like Henrik who has a noticeable limp. But it's that important that he find her. And he gives her a hug for the ages. Like, it is the warmest, kindest thing. But to your point earlier, Jennifer, it looked, and to me at least, felt more friend zone than it did kind of romance zone at this point. I don't know. What did you think?
Yes. But his actions of being so convicted to go find her and the urgency, he really cares about her. I liked that. And I liked this scene. I mean, he has undone any sort of PT progress he's made in the past year with running through the woods, but he was willing to do it for her. And I did love their embrace and their hug. It was like kind of a swooping shot of around like a 360 almost of them hugging. But yeah, friend zone. That's a friend hug.
But in spite of that, my cry count is now at 2. Anyway, Henrik tells her to bundle up later that night, and he takes her out to see the Northern Lights. And this is, for me, where it starts to transition into a little bit more romance than friend zone. So it's wedding day, and grandmom sees that she's wearing basically something off the rack from, I don't know, Pottery Barn. No, what's a women's clothing?
Pottery Barn. She was wearing a vivaz
and a
throw pillow.
She's wearing something off the rack. I was trying to think of casual corner, and I said Pottery Barn or something like that.
Dress Barn. Were you thinking Dress Barn?
Dress Barn. That's exactly what I was thinking. She was wearing something off the rack from Dress Barn. Anywho, Grandma decides that just
so many barns.
So many barns.
Grandma Wait, there's decides. Apple Barn, there's Dress Barn, there's mm-hmm. Boot Barn, mm-hmm. Pottery Barn. There Pottery are barn. Many a barn.
Many a Honest barn.
Mistake.
Many a barn. But Grandma doesn't want her wearing something from a barn to this wedding, so she gives her a traditional Norwegian garment, and it is really, really ornate and really, really sweet. So we get all sorts of Norwegian wedding traditions, including the last minute proposal. So the bride's with her family, and here comes the groom just knock, knock, knocking on the door and asks her to marry him. And I thought it was really impossibly sweet.
And JJ was like, wait, we're not engaged yet? Like we haven't proposed yet? Three? Crack him.
Three.
Oh my goodness.
It was a rough week.
Clearly. Excuse me.
So they leave the house to fiddle playing, which just like seems so fun to be off to a wedding dancing to fiddle music. Like, if I could go back in time and redo our wedding, there would have been a lot more fiddle playing and a lot more dancing on the way.
You might want to clear that with your wife first before you make such a, maybe at the vow renewal.
Ding. Good ideas. Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
So she, at the wedding, leans into Grandma and asks Grandma if she believes in fate, because she's watching Henrik do all these sweet things as the best man and all this other stuff. And Grandma says, of course. And JJ goes to visit later her grandfather, revealing her mother's name was Andrea, named after the coach. So this is getting heavy. Yeah. It's Christmas, and they sing Norwegian Silent Night. They open presents, mainly socks, and Coach shows up.
So many socks. I mean, it was just socks on top of socks on top of socks.
Literally, stacks of socks, but it was cute. And Coach shows up and gives her a scarf that her grandmother made that he has had all of these years. She gives him the troll back. And he, in turn, gives her a key to his basement apartment. It was like a gift swap, and it was just like layers and depth.
But it involved real estate.
Real estate. I know. There was a lot happening.
I couldn't have gotten rid of that troll figurine quick enough. Be like, oh, here you go. Why don't you take that back? Thank you.
Exactly. Oh, by the way, the coach's name is Anders. And so Grandma had named her daughter, so JJ's mom, Andrea, after Anders, which I thought was kind of sweet.
This is pretty cut and dry.
Exactly. So Anders and Henrik, they make amends. He wants Henrik to coach there in Norway and ultimately take his place, which is kind of a full circle moment for him. Henrik and JJ go for a walk. He gives her a Northern Lights necklace in case she ever feels lost again. She can find her way home.
Oh, I like that.
I did too.
Because he took her to the Northern Lights because she's into, you know, meteorology, whatever the proper term for that would be. And so I like that he took a liking to her interests and created these moments to really honor her interests and make her feel at home, even though she was very far away from home. I thought that was very sweet.
Agreed. So it's clear that romance is budding here. And they're very early on in their stages. They're not like getting engaged or anything like that. But it's time for the big kiss. And I think in what is probably one of the better scenes in this movie, she sees out of the corner of her eye some of the youths that were harassing Henrik earlier in the film. Or as my 11th grade English teacher, Joanne Newsom, would say, harassing. Yes. Anywho, she sees these youths out of the corner of her eye, and she absolutely reads them for filth. She's like, no, you are not going to do this, because this is going to be a kiss for the ages. This is going to be fireworks, and nothing is going to ruin this moment. She actually calls this kiss that it's going to be top shelf, which I thought was really funny. Anyway, the youths are rightly spooked, and so they bolt, and we do get a rather, I think, top shelf kiss as this movie fades to black.
And now it's time for our new favorite segment, Josh's Cry Count. Wah! Josh, what made you cry this episode?
So there were three moments that got me. It was It was when Astrid said she wanted to be her surrogate grandmother. I thought that was so tender and so sweet because we had seen their relationship develop, and the way she just communicated that was just really sweet. So that was cry count one. Cry count two for me was when he ran through the woods with his limp and found her and gave her a hug. Nothing more. Didn't say anything. The hug said everything it needed to, and it said to
There's
me,
a book. Okay.
waterworks.
There's a book that we got from the Dolly Parton Imagination Library. You all may have gotten it too, and it's called The Rabbit Listened.
Yes, that's
And
what it
it's
was.
so
Bingo.
sweet. This boy, this little boy, basically his block tower falls down and like all the animals come to try to help. So one gets mad. One's like, let's rebuild it. But the rabbit just sits there and listens and is with him. And I am trying in my life to be a friend more like the rabbit who just sits and listens when people are going through it. And that running moment through the woods was a the rabbit listened moment. It was very sweet.
Bingo. And cry count three for me was wedding day when the family's all there together and Laura walks in her wedding dress and she looks like a million bucks. It was her mom's wedding dress who has since passed on. And dad gets sort of teary-eyed and they're talking about the traditions. And then her soon-to-be husband and his daughter show up and he proposes to her, which is like, I guess, part of the tradition there. So cry count three. So three, three.
Okay, it's time for our gold or coal segment. No crying allowed here. We're each going to bring three gifts to the pot. No, no crying, Josh. Can't make any promises. If there's more gold, it's the Northern Lights. If there's more coal, it's Dim and Dumb. Ooh, and if it's a tie, it's just a meh. Merry Christmas, Josh. I've already seen you commenting to other people on Instagram about your feelings on this movie, so I kind of know where you're coming from, but hit me with it. What you got?
Sure. So the leads are outstanding. I thought Rhianna Fish was great in this role as sort of fish out of water and sweet and all of this. I thought the guy who played Henrik was great. I really liked them in the end. I bought their budding romance. Not that they were a full-fledged romantic couple, but I bought the budding nature of it. And I thought that for me, it felt pretty earned.
I can't say I agree with that.
Okay, that's fine. Difference of opinion.
I
Understood.
think they're better as friends. They're better as friends, and maybe they kiss a little, but this is not going anywhere. There's no way. She's going to move to Norway.
There is no promise of that. No.
Well, she got accepted to the school, right?
No, I think she just developed research
Or,
connections there.
oh, I thought she was moving to Norway.
I didn't pick that up. Maybe I missed it
Okay.
through my
No, I
tears.
bet you're right. I don't know how you get anything done watching these movies through the tears. That'll be another podcast. Through the tears.
Through the
Wasn't that a
tears.
Kanye album? Like through the wire
I
when
don't
his
know about
jaw
that.
was wired
Through the
shut, and
tears. We'll
now
do it as
he's
a
through the tears.
spin-off
It's
podcast.
about grief and loss. Okay, I will give some gold for, like I kind of alluded to already, the Northern Lights Day and the Northern Light Crystal at the end. I really like that he embraced her passions and kind of created these little moments to honor that. So I will give that gold, even though I think they're friends.
This one to me, more gold, felt like a warm mug of really rich hot cocoa. Like it felt feel good throughout. Like it gave me all of the warm and the fuzzies, and I just thought it was really, really special. Gold.
I will give gold for Astrid, the grandma. She was funny. So she's learned how to text, and she will, like, she's texting in the way that's like she signs her texts, and she will text somebody to say, I like texting. And then at the end, after their Christmas festivities, she says, now is a good time for everyone to clean my kitchen. Like, just she's a little sassy, but like not rude in any way. She's just funny and just a delight. So I really liked her character a lot.
Good. I did too. And then, no surprise here, this is going to be three gold for me. I was super skeptical about this troll subplot. I thought this was going to be lamesies, but I actually really liked how it tied her to the place and it sort of became this storytelling device. And really didn't just connect her to the place, but it connected her to the people that she was encountering in this way that felt really full of fate. And I bought it and I loved it. So,
and her, she got a grandfather out of it too.
Bonus.
Who knew?
Who knew? And an apartment.
Well, that's the other thing. So she's not moving to Norway, but she has an apartment now.
Maybe it's a key to an apartment just to stay there. Again, maybe I missed it. I could have missed it. I might have to go back.
I don't know. I'm going to give some coal. I'm sorry. I thought this movie was a little boring. Josh is visibly ill and grief-stricken, and he's turned away from me, dear listener. He may have choked on his beverage, and this might be the last episode of the podcast. We had a good run. Listen, it was a lot better than I thought it would be. I was dreading watching this because of the whole troll thing. I was like, good night. But I agree with everything you said. They turned it into something good. It was very sweet. It was just a little dull for me.
Okay, I can see that. Yeah. There wasn't a whole lot going on in terms of action or events or really anything like that. It was a lot of talking, a lot of kind of wandering.
Heckling.
A lot of heckling. Yes, exactly. There was no sort of drama or action or anything like that.
So yeah, there was drama in the familial sense, but it was not action-packed.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay, I can give you that. It is definitely...
I probably won't watch it again.
It is definitely a slower, more kind of contemplative Hallmark movie. It is not a laugh-a-minute, haul-out-the-holly kind of situation at all. It's definitely more trying to be, I think, heartfelt and slower and more kind of like...
Yeah.
Settled in kind of one. But bottom line here, 5-1. So 5 gold, 1 coal. Still one that we would say might be worth the watch for you. We're going to call it Northern Lights. Probably one of my favorites so far this season. I really thought it was great. So
we might need to do like a little early December ranking on our socials and just like kind of put like our top five.
Yes, a power poll. Yeah. Like where are they standing right now?
Or a top three or five. What do you want to do?
Let's do top five. I think that might be a better conversation. Yeah, we can throw that up on our social channels and everybody can kind of weigh in and let us know what they think or are their top five. You could do your top five. I'll do my top five and we'll kind of go.
We'll do it. We'll release that this week on the social. So stay tuned.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad we watched it. I would not have watched this otherwise if we had not drafted it because it mentioned a troll.
Same. And that's why... That's why I'm glad that we did the draft the way we did, where it was certainly more random this time around, because I think this is what we were wanting, that it would expose us to ones that are better than we thought they would be based on the synopsis and might very well expose us to ones that are going to be a little bit something else. And that might be an episode that drops next week. So as a deep tease, you might want to stay tuned. One we've got coming up next
more to
week.
Come more to
oh,
come
dear
that's right that friends is another episode of Do You Watch What I Watch.
Special thanks to Nick Schwarz for our theme song, and of course to all of you for taking the time to listen and watch.
That's right. And hey, if you're here, you're listening, thank you so much. We would really appreciate a 5-star rating and review. Also, it's early December. We've already watched a lot of movies, so go back, listen to old episodes if you're just now getting into the swing of things with the Christmas films. And we still have a lot more movies to cover before Saint Nick comes to town. So definitely want to stay involved. Follow us on our socials. Everything you need to know is at doyouwatchwhatiwatch.com. Next time, brace yourselves. We are recapping and reviewing Lifetime's Ladies of the 80s, A Diva's Christmas. Here's the plot summary. 5 internationally known glamorous 80s soap opera stars reunite to share the spotlight and shoot the final Christmas episode of their long-running soap opera. The ladies play Cupid to the young director and producer, and romance looms. Well, we will have much to discuss, but until then...
I just think it's going to be so great. And until then, yes, may your days be merry and bright. We will see you next time.